the condition of our nation that we're living in now. I was at one point just had decided just to preach another sermon, but because of the hurting and the pain of so many in this day, I felt like I wanted to address something a little bit more personal today, because I feel like we need to learn to talk to one another. I feel like we need to learn to understand each other better. I'm not going to begin to try to make you think that I know how you feel. No one knows how you feel except you, yourself, and God. I cannot begin to tell you that I understand the struggles that you have in your particular life. I can tell you of the struggles that I have in mine, but I can't say what your struggles are. You can know that. But by and large, there's a large number of angry people in this nation today. Most of it has come about because of people doing wrong. And therefore, other people have felt the repercussions from it. And right or wrong, folks, it is what it is. And we must learn to learn from our mistakes. We must learn to address things in a sensible and spiritual way, rather than following emotions. Emotions will get you in trouble. Emotions will make you say things you shouldn't say. Emotions will make you do things you shouldn't do. So if there's ever been a time that we need some contemplative prayer going up before God, we certainly need to do that. There are those in this nation who seek to divide us. Their purpose and their plan seems to be to drive a wedge between all of us, between people because of race, between people because of political persuasions, and a variety of other things, finances, lifestyles. It just, for some reason, some people just enjoy stirring up stuff and causing people to have bad feelings toward one another. I want to begin today by reading from the book of Galatians, chapter 3. I want to read verse 26, 27, and 28. For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. As many of you as have been baptized unto Christ have put on Christ. Listen to this one now. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Amen. I don't know how that could be any more clear. Everyone is equally important. There are no big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God. And we need to begin to understand that just because of the pigmentation of our skin does not make us any different from anyone else in the eyes of God. And if that hasn't dawned on us yet, it needs to, that everyone matters. Everyone is equally important before God. I like to keep saying from time to time, as far as God is concerned, there's not but one race, and that's the human race. It's the human race, folks. There are different variations of skin color within the human race. But there is no one part of the human race that is superior to another or inferior to another. And we really need to get down hard on that as men and women of God. Don't you be foolish enough to listen to the voices of those around you that would try to bring division and hostility and hatred within your heart toward anyone at any time. We never have the right to do that. I've stated on several occasions, I don't like this idea of hyphenated people. I don't like people being referred to as African American or Asian American or Hispanic American, or I guess if you take it far enough, all of us. I'd be a Scotch-Irish American. I mean, how foolish can we get? We're all Americans. I think we need to drop these tags. And so we can all become more equal in each other's eyes and in the eyes of the Lord. We're all immigrants from somewhere else. Our ancestors who came here, even the Native Americans had to come here from somewhere. It all started with Adam and Eve. So everyone at some point, your ancestors were immigrants from other places in the world. So we need to begin to look at each other as equals before the law and certainly before the Lord and before each other. Now, as the church, we need to set the example for the world. I will never be a part of anything that causes any person or any group of people to feel less than what they are, or to make them feel like they are not wanted and that they are treated differently because of who they are. I can't speak for everyone in here, but I can speak for this church leadership. I can speak for me and my good wife. I can speak for those that I have authority over. No one will be treated differently. We're going to all love one another. We're all going to be treated as equals because we are equals in the sight of God. And if anybody at any time has an opportunity to feel like that someone has made a statement to you or has made you feel like you are less than what you truly are as a child of God, I wish you would come to me directly, because I would love to confront a situation like that. As we approach and have just finished, rather, the 240th birthday of this great nation, we got a lot of problems that we need to learn to deal with. And when we leave this church today, I want you to leave fully convinced that God is still God and His love is greater far than all of the anger and all of the pain and all of the hostility that the world would throw at you. There are voices out there that tell you to hurt somebody, kill somebody, make somebody pay for the hurt and the pain that you have experienced. Please reject those voices. Don't listen to them. They are not of God, and they are not for your good and your betterment. The people who love you will tell you that we must every day, folks, walk in forgiveness, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven every one of us. I have been hurt. I have been wronged. You have been hurt. You have been wronged. It may not have been for the same reason or the same thing, but I have had to learn that whether anyone ever asks forgiveness or not, I have learned I forgive because it's in my best interest to forgive my fellow man and don't walk around holding these things inside of me. So as a church, we're going to take a stand on what is right, and we're going to take a stand for forgiveness and falling at the foot of the cross where everyone is equal and the ground is level at the foot of the cross. And that's the only way we can do that. I read, as I was preparing for the message today, I read about Alexander Tyler, a Scottish professor, back in 1887. He said, he had this to say about all of the civilizations of the world that had risen and fallen. He said the average age of a normal civilization is 200 years, especially a democratic civilization. And he said, during those 200 years, these nations that progressed followed through this particular sequence, every one of them. Listen to this. They went from bondage to spiritual faith. Then that spiritual faith became great courage. Then it went from courage to the liberty that they had been seeking. It went from liberty to suddenly abundance, and they had more than they had ever had before. It went then from abundance back to complacency again. Then from complacency to apathy. From apathy to dependence. From dependence then back into bondage. I fear as a nation, because we're developing a generation of people who are so dependent upon man and so dependent upon government, so dependent upon the systems of political persuasion to meet our needs, that we're losing our faith in God and we're losing our ability to trust in the Lord with all of our heart to meet our needs. And rather, we have begun to look to the fellow man around us to meet our needs. And it is scary. When we think about that, what we want and what we need becomes the driving force behind who we are. I'll tell you who we are. We're all needy people who are on our way to hell without the love of God and without God's grace and mercy being extended to us. None of us stand a chance. So we need to begin to understand how important it is for that. If the house is dark at night, there's no need in blaming the house. That's what happens when the sun goes down. And the question is, where is the light? If you lay the meat out on the counter and don't bother it, that meat is going to go to the bad, and you're going to have to throw the meat away. You can't blame the meat. The meat is not the problem. Where's the salt? The Bible declares that the people of God are salt and light in this world. Folks, we're not supposed to be like the average person out there on the street who is spewing their hatred and spewing words that are not good and are not helpful to people. We are different. We are called to a higher calling. We have something else in our heart besides what other people will see. And I think it's time for the church to be the church. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the church becoming the political arm of the community. I'm tired of this sacred pulpit, which is here for the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm tired of this becoming a bully pulpit where people can espouse their political views. We need to take the Word of God. It is the lamp unto our feet and the light to our path. And we need to hide its Word in our heart that we might not sin against God. Where is the church? We need to be the first ones to stand up for injustice. Yes, I will say that again. We need to be the first ones to object to people being treated unfairly. It is our Christian responsibility to stand up for what is right. Whether it's you or me or one of my children or one of your children, folks, right is still right and wrong is still wrong, and it doesn't change because of whose house it's in. What can the church do? The church can lead in a spirit that will begin to turn this nation back to God. I don't see any hope on the political horizon. I don't see anything out there that makes me believe that a different president or a different administration is going to make a lot of difference until God's people who are called by God's name shall humble themselves and pray and seek His face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, then will I hear from heaven and I'll forgive their sin and I'll heal their land. Folks, the answer to our problems is not in politics. The answers to our problems is not more money coming our way. Amen. The answer to our problems is when the people of God will begin to call on the name of the Lord, and the power from the Holy Ghost will begin to overshadow our lives, and we will speak as people from another world, as people who have tasted of the heavenly vision and will never be satisfied to go back into the stuff that they have come out of. That's what I long to see anymore. I long to see these men in this church, these husbands, these fathers. I long to see them stand up on their feet and walk to the front of their family and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I'm tired of men standing in the background when it comes to spiritual things and relinquishing your authority to your wife because you don't have the spiritual brass to be what God's called you to be. I'm challenging you today. Throw that stuff aside and stand up in the front and say, this is my home, this is my wife, these are my children, and we are not going to settle for anything except what is right and holy and good. That's what I'm expecting. I'm expecting the women of this church, members of the body of Christ, who have been born again by His precious blood, who have come out of darkness into His marvelous light, who will not believe the lies of Hollywood and will not encourage their children to follow that lifestyle, who will not follow after what is popular for the day, but will, as handmaidens of the Lord, gather their little children around their knees and lead them to the prayer of salvation and to a personal knowledge of Jesus Christ. I long when men will be men and women will be women, and we will stand up like a mighty army and declare the wondrous works of the Lord. Hallelujah. In the book of Daniel, I found some interesting scripture in chapter 9. I want you to see in verse number 1 of chapter 9. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. He's talking about Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 1 and 2. And he said, I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. Daniel says, for 67 years, his nation has been in captivity, and they were down and out, they were discouraged, they were disappointed, and they wondered if this thing would ever come to an end. And Daniel said, I'm reading the scriptures one day, and he said, I came across this scripture in Jeremiah chapter 25, he said, and verses 11 and 12, he said, I found out where it was going to be 70 years that we would be in captivity. And he said, I quickly decided we only had 3 more years of captivity, and then God was going to bring a great deliverance. So he said, I set my face to begin to pray and seek the Lord. There was only going to be 3 more years, and then God was going to reveal himself one more time. I think this is the way I feel about all of this stuff. People say, preacher, how much longer can this stuff go on? How much longer before the Lord comes back again? How much longer before he decides that enough is enough and he puts an end to this thing? As I study the scriptures and I look at them and I find out, though we cannot know the day or the hour when the Son of Man cometh, I know in my heart of hearts, I know as I read this word, that the time of the end is drawing near, and we better get everything ready with the Lord, and we need to seek the Lord's face as we have never sought it before, because I believe that God is about to once again assert his authority over mankind. This is a nation under the judgment of God. I've said that for years now, that America is under the judgment of God. Anytime we're under the judgment of God, a lot of bad things happen. And if there's ever been a time that we need to pray and seek the Lord, if there's ever been a time that we need to go back to the Word again and read that in the last days, perilous or dangerous times would come. Did you ever think you would ever see the day in this nation of ours when you would be afraid for your children to go out of the front door? Did you ever think you would see the time when there would be people around the world who just don't like you, they don't know you, they've never seen you, but they want you dead? I never thought I would see that day. This is the most dangerous generation that has ever lived before. But I can declare unto you in my heart of hearts, I feel the voice and I hear the voice of the Lord declaring, lift up your heads and lift up your eyes. Don't be caught off guard, for the year of the Lord is drawing nigh. I see it, I feel it. We need to pray with confidence that God's word is still true. It doesn't matter what happens around us. It does not change the word of God. It does not change the fact that God will bring deliverance if his people that are called by his name will pray and seek his face. He said, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Glory to God. When Abraham prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah, you wonder, well, God, you know, what's going to stop this thing? I don't feel like some people feel, and I don't have the hatred in my heart and the anger and hostility in my heart that some people feel. But yet I got to live in this world, and I've got to do my part to be a good citizen of not only this country, but a good citizen of the kingdom of heaven at the same time. What am I to do? The Bible said Abraham went before God and he prayed for Sodom and Gomorrah because God was going to destroy those wicked cities. And Abraham was concerned. He said, well, now God, not everybody in that city is wicked. Are you going to destroy everyone in that city because there are some wicked people there? He appealed to God's mercy. That's what we need to learn to appeal to, is God's mercy. God said, no, I'm not going to destroy everybody in the city because there's a few bad ones. He said, if you can find me 50 righteous people in that city, I'll spare the city. He said, if you could just find me 50 that are good and right and holy in a whole city full of people, then I'll spare the city. Abraham said, how about 40? He began to question whether or not he could find really 50 people that really loved the Lord and was serving God. God said, well, all right, for 40 I'll do it. Well, how about 30? And he kept it right on down till he got to 10. And God said, even for 10, I will withhold my judgment from off the cities if you can find 10 who love me and serve me. So I'm saying to you, you may feel like you're lost in a sea of people who don't feel like you feel, who don't talk the talk you talk, and who don't walk the walk you walk, and you feel like you are just left out all by yourself, and you wonder, well, God, am I going to have to suffer the consequences like everybody else just because there are some who are out of control? I'm telling you, God is a merciful God, and if we will call upon Him and seek His face, He has proven time and time again that He will withhold His judgment if His people will begin to call out to Him. And I still believe in that today. I hope and pray before the power of the Holy Spirit, we can understand that we are a preserving influence in this world. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, according to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, it is the church that is holding back the evil. Understand that. If it were not for the church, all of the gates of hell would be unleashed. And that's what's going to happen in the Great Tribulation period, when all of a sudden the Lord Himself is going to appear in the eastern skies, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first, and then we who are alive and remain are going to be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. When all of the Christian people are taken out of this world and are no longer holding back the evil, that's when the evil takes over and consumes everything. So I want you to understand how much power the church of the Lord Jesus has. We are holding back the devil's bunch. We are holding back the spirit of lawlessness and the spirit that would destroy and the spirit of rebellion and that spirit of hatred. We cannot be caught up in that. Hear me now. We cannot be caught up in that. That spirit is not of God. I can tell you beyond the shadow of a doubt, that spirit is not of God. I'll be the first one to say, there's been a lot of injustices that have been done. There's a lot of just plain sins that have been done against people who did not deserve it, and it happened just because of the color of the skin. It is despicable, and it is not of God. And the people of God need to stand up and condemn it and say it is not of God. It doesn't matter who it is or who has done it. No one deserves to be treated in any way except as a Christian and as a man or woman of God. We need to pray confessing our sins before God. We don't need to go before God telling Him how good we are and how we have never been guilty of this or that or the other. We need to confess, Lord, as a nation, we have sinned against You. Lord, as a group of people, we have sinned against You. Lord, as a civilization, we have sinned against You. I'd be foolish to tell God how good I am. He knows the truth. I would be foolish to stand up and try to recount all of the good things I've done to help other people, because truth be known, in the heart of hearts, we are all desperately wicked. Amen. That's what the Word says. And we have to be washed by the blood of the crucified one. That's the only thing that makes the difference in our life. Let's stand on our feet and let's give the Lord a good applause right now. God, you are a good God. We love you.